Welcome back to another bonus episode of the Cabin Podcast. If you're joining us for the very first time, welcome to the official podcast of Discover Wisconsin. I'm Susan Foch.
I'm Eric Paulson.
And with us today, we have two very special guests because tomorrow marks a very special holiday in Wisconsin. Tomorrow is going to be Lake Michigan Day, which is August 12th. So today, we had to be joined by some experts to teach us about things that Eric and I have no business speaking on. So first up, we have Russ Green, who is the superintendent of the Wisconsin Shipwreck Coast National Marine Sanctuary at NOAA, which stands for the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration in Sheboygan. Welcome.
Yes, that's right. Yep.
What a mouthful. And then we have Tom Malata, who is the executive director of the Lakeshore National Resource Partnership and is also, as I understand, the former mayor of Port Washington.
Indeed.
Welcome both. Thank you so much for joining us very physically in the cabin. So we enjoyed having you.
You bet. Awesome to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks.
Yeah. Always good to have guests in the room, in the cabin, as we're kind of sealed off in our nice cozy cabin.
Yeah.
I was joking before, it feels like a submersible.
Yeah.
So as we dive deep, this is going to be a fascinating topic.
It'll be very fascinating. So, and the thing is, we have to just start right off the top because I just said a lot of large organizations, lots of long words, lots of, what am I trying to say? It's
acronyms.
Acronyms. Yes.
I wanted to say the word apostrophe. Mm-hmm. I knew that was very wrong. Yeah. Acronyms. So can both of you start us off? Russ, I'll probably start with you. Can you just explain to us the Wisconsin Shipwreck Coast National Marine Sanctuary? Explain NOAA and what do you folks do?
Sure, you bet. Yeah, I won't repeat the long version of NOAA. So we're calling NOAA from here on out. And really, you know, NOAA is a large agency, and you know, but its basic mission is to conserve and manage our coastal and ocean resources. And there's lots of ways to do that. So these are the folks that have satellites and bring you the weather, are charting our coast so that there's safe navigation, hurricane hunter airplanes and flying into hurricanes to help predict the weather. And within that is the National Marine Sanctuary Program. And so we are a network of underwater parks. There's 15 across the nation and two national marine monuments, and they protect iconic cultural and natural resources across our nation.
Nice. Awesome. And Tom, can you explain to us a little bit about the Lakeshore National Resources Partnership and then also how both of your organizations all kind of work together?
Absolutely. So LNRP, I'll go with the acronym too,
because
we're a world of acronyms and speeds things along, right? So LNRP, we are an environmental nonprofit organization, been around since 2003, so coming up on our 20th milestone anniversary. And over the course of those two decades, we've functioned from really Ozaukee County up to Door County and then inland into Lake Winnebago. So pretty significant, pretty sizable mission service area, and really focused on conservation, community-based conservation work. So habitat restoration, water quality efforts, community engagement of late, really getting more into resiliency type of efforts within our communities with climate change being a real issue, obviously. Mm-hmm. And for us, we really are working with local partners on the ground. So community partners having an impact within those communities that we're serving. Just so happens that our mission service area really aligns very nicely with the boundary area of the National Marine Sanctuary now as designated here in Wisconsin. And we've been really involved from the outset. Actually, my time dates back to when I was mayor in the city of Port Washington, my involvement. Mm-hmm. But we've been really privileged the last couple of years to help expedite, really kind of move this forward, work hand in hand with Russ, with the NOAA team, but with also all those communities, because they've driven the sanctuary designation from the ground up. Mm-hmm. And again, those are the communities that we're working to serve along the coastline of Wisconsin.
That's been underway for a while, because I've been hearing about the efforts for several years. Mm-hmm. And that official designation just finally was made official, if you will, in 2021, right?
That's right, last summer. So we're coming up on our year anniversary next
nice.
Month. Yeah. Yeah, and it is. And, you know, as Tom mentioned, it's community driven. So that, you know, the way you create a sanctuary is with a sanctuary nomination. In this case, the communities of Two Rivers, Manitowoc, Sheboygan, and Port Washington, you know, submitted a nomination along with the state of Wisconsin, where the sanctuary is managed, co-managed with the state of Wisconsin. And you kind of make the argument for what's special about the resources you want to protect, right? And so in this case, it's nationally significant shipwreck sites that tell our nation's story, part of our nation's story. Mm-hmm. You know, but the sanctuary program manages these places through education, community engagement, through strong research programs. And so the communities really saw an opportunity to leverage the sanctuary and the national exposure. And so it's kind of a really big canvas for us to work on, but to fulfill that vision that Tom and others had when they nominated the sanctuary.
Speaking of a canvas, too, I mean, we're talking how many square miles?
960 square miles.
Okay.
Yep.
So nearly 1,000, and there are quite a few shipwrecks in there.
There are. There are 36 we know about. 27 of those are in the National Register of Historic Places, thanks to the Wisconsin Historical Society, our state partner. And that really, you know, helped demonstrate their national significance. But, you know, the number of shipwrecks is 36 that we know about. The cool thing is, you know, there's probably a couple of dozen yet to be discovered. And that's mm-hmm. when things get exciting, right? Because you're beginning to manage and explore a shipwreck site from the very first moments of discovery with all of its contents and its material culture and the artifacts there. So there's lots of stories to be told.
You know, with Google Maps. Sorry, Susan.
It's okay.
It's funny with Google Maps, you know, everything seems to have been mapped on our land, right? Mm-hmm. I can zoom in on anything, anywhere, just about. Harder to map underwater.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm totally going to botch this statistic. But, you know, a very small fraction of the ocean has actually been mapped. So, you know, we don't, you know, I think we know more about the surface of Mars than we do about our oceans. Yeah, I think that's a true fact. And in this case, for the marine sanctuary, you know, the Great Lakes are a fragile ecosystem in many ways. And so some of the research that the sanctuary and NOAA are able to contribute is actually happening right now. And you mentioned mapping, and that we have a team underway from the Office of Coast Survey who is mapping the sanctuary to a very high level of detail. They use sonars to kind of paint the lake bed with sound, and you get a topographical map, but you learn a lot about the cultural and natural features. So hopefully this will help us learn a little bit more about the Great Lakes and kind of inch our way towards knowing as much about the Great Lakes as we do about Mars.
just as much as Mars. I know that there's probably, I'm sure, several shipwrecks that we have not discovered. What has been the most recent discovery?
Oh boy, that's a good question. You know, many were discovered in the, you know, the 70s and 80s, and this is really an interesting legacy of the sanctuary. And these are folks that, you know, the advent of diving is coming along. They're using rudimentary sonars. They're hijacking, or not hijacking, they're getting surplus equipment from the Navy, sonars and that sort of thing. So many of the discoveries are quite old. And, you know, back in the day, you would discover one of these shipwrecks, and then you'd go dive in this 40-degree water in some cases in the fall. It warms up in the summer, but mm-hmm. in the fall and the spring, you're doing it in a wetsuit. You're doing it with air. Today, we use kind of mixed gas diving. So some of these really deeper shipwrecks, you know, 250 feet, those early shipwreck hunters were truly explorers. And so, you know, I can't say off the top of my head what the most recent one was.
Okay.
I think the real legacy is that it's almost citizen science in a way that evolved over the years in the discovery of these shipwrecks.
Mm-hmm. Well, some of the earliest shipwrecks in Lake Michigan, my understanding is, happened as far back as the 1600s when they were just starting to explore the area. And most of them, though, that are in the sanctuary area happened 1830s to 1930s, roughly in that time frame?
That's right. Yeah. So a small schooner called the Gallinipper, built in the 1830s, and that's kind of the low end of the bracket. And then by 1929, you have the 400-foot steel freighter Senator, which is probably the latest discovery in the sanctuary, carrying 268 Nash automobiles that were made in Wisconsin.
Oh, I heard about that. Manufactured in Kenosha. They took off.
And they're still well-preserved there. So you've got that 100-year bracket. And so you've got westward expansion, the fur trade, how Wisconsin is staying connected with the rest of the world, coastal trade, you know, the early moments before we're even a state, right? Ships are kind of plying these waters all the way up to the industrial period. So it's a pretty nice snapshot of life on the lakes, on the Western Great Lakes. Mm-hmm.
Some of those shipwrecks, some things, you usually try to leave a lot of shipwreck material where it landed, leave it there, preserve it, which is one of the goals of the sanctuary, I believe.
Absolutely.
But in some museums, you have some artifacts up from shipwrecks. There's a beach on North Beach or DeLand Park in Sheboygan. You can actually kind of walk through a semi-reconstructed shipwreck, which is really cool.
Yeah, that's a really interesting one. That's a real shipwreck. You know, when they were expanding the marina, they discovered a shipwreck, and you know, you can mitigate this progress by saying, well, what are we going to do with this amazing cultural artifact? And they were able to bring it up on land, reconstruct it. And today it's a pretty impressive exhibit of a real shipwreck site right there. So you don't even have to dive. You can go visit Sheboygan to get yourself your shipwreck fixed.
You can do that in Sheboygan. The Port Explorium is a great resource in downtown Port Washington, where you can learn a lot about the lake and a little bit about the shipwrecks, too. Right. I don't know how many artifacts are in there.
Right. You have the Explorer email, also have the 1860 light station. Mm-hmm. So it's really, again, about creating that sense of connection with the really special history within that community. You know, I think Russ talked earlier about the network and the significance of being part of a national network, right? I mean, there's a lot of value to that. But the really cool thing about the sanctuary system is, again, with it being community driven, it's really driven from that local level. So you have the benefit of being a part of something really special at that national, but then you also have that sense of this is our own unique identity, our own unique story mm-hmm. that we're really telling as part of this specific sanctuary now, the Wisconsin Shipwreck Coast National Marine Sanctuary. So, you know, what was neat from the outset is that you're referencing, Eric, you know, all these different individual communities. And I know you said from the outset, Russ, the four. Each one of the four, we really approached it, and they still do, very much from a regional mentality. But the reality is, it's about that unique community identity as well. You know, your own story and that overall kind of shipwreck element and that shipwreck mm-hmm. coast sanctuary. So, you know, I think building connection with water is just so important. I mean, the old adage, obviously, of you love what you experience, you protect what you love. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, we're talking about bringing some of those elements to land, but it's also about, again, taking people to water. Right. And that's what I think this largely does. It really elevates that opportunity to bring people to the water in a unique way, part of that larger national system, but also as part of your own unique community identity and story.
Right. Well, and there's so many, you know, especially all of our coastal communities, I think, do really embrace that. And I can speak to that selfishly, having grown up in northern Door County. We talk a lot about why it's called Death's Door. We did a lot of that exploring just in like our, I think down to like elementary school days, because it was such a large part of our community. I know in Manitowoc, like even their high school mascot is called the Shipbuilders mm-hmm. because they embrace that. But what is a way that we could take some of the more like landlocked areas of the state or, you know, counties who are not close to the Great Lakes or even like Winnebago is our big inland lake. How can we kind of bring the pride that coastal communities have to our landlocked communities?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And I think from the outset, and I'll let you jump in here because this connects intimately to the sanctuary. But, you know, the sanctuary creates that sense of this is Wisconsin's sanctuary, right? Mm-hmm. One of only two on the Great Lakes as part of this system. Mm-hmm. And it comes at such a really critical time where our communities, coastal and inland within the state of Wisconsin, are really facing unprecedented challenges. I mean, related to climate change and to some of the other things now that really are at the forefront. It provides us really an avenue for a unifying thread. It's a place of unity in terms of that, you know, as you're saying, that connection to the water, that sense of pride and place. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, we can talk in terms, and our organization often does, in terms of watershed health and its connectivity to Lake Michigan health. And so now that moves us inland a little bit, obviously, but it gets people thinking about, again, I'm a steward of Lake Michigan. Well, that means I'm a steward, obviously, of the watershed within which I live. And there's ecological components to that. There's economic components to that. There's cultural and heritage components to that. And again, the ability for the sanctuary to serve as sort of a foundation piece of that, kind of elevating everybody to one level of this is something that as Wisconsinites, we all share in common. This is our sanctuary. I think it's a great platform for conversation, for generating awareness, really building that sense of community engagement around that central thread of overall water stewardship. So I don't know.
Yeah, how can you top that?
People do think more about the water with the Explorium, with in Sheboygan, the shipwreck, with the Maritime Museum right. that makes you explore the lake. The historic Roger Street Fishing Village has some shipwreck right. materials in there and some things that they've salvaged. You know, one of the wheels and everything like that. That makes people think about the water and what is under there.
Right.
And so that really, I think, helped inspire some of the sanctuary ideas. It certainly seems to me.
Correct.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, being a national program, you know, you're able to amplify this message in one mm-hmm. way or the other. We're all connected to certainly Lake Michigan, but also the oceans. And mm-hmm. so bringing those messages of conservation and action to communities across Wisconsin is right in our lane. I mean, that's the kind of thing that we want to do. That's NOAA's mission. Is to really educate very broadly for the health and of our Great Lakes and oceans. So the sanctuary, you know, it's about shipwrecks. You know, you might come for the shipwrecks, right? Mm-hmm. But you're going to stay for the Lake Michigan conservation because that's really the message. You know, what can we do to take action to protect the Great Lakes as an ecosystem as well as the cultural features that are there?
Mm-hmm. And the fragility of the ecosystem is very evident. I mean, when the St. Lawrence Seaway opened in 1959, that created a whole new level of We have to watch what comes into the waters. We have to watch what happens. Chicago, of course, famously dug the Chicago River so it drained away from the lake. That caused some issues back in like 1899. So we keep messing with things.
Yeah.
And the more we know about A, not, maybe not messing with it, or B, how to fix things, yeah. the better.
Yeah, mm-hmm. totally. I was just going to, one of the things I always try to echo in my mind, my dad, who was my conservation hero, he was really fond of saying when we were growing up, I mean, we were always connected to the water and out enjoying Lake Michigan or inland hiking or whatever it was. And he would always talk about, you know, there's no such thing as a dress rehearsal in the way we care for our greatest natural resources. And that always stuck with me, to your point, Eric, and the sense of, you know, now we're seeing that, right? We're really kind of pushing the envelope, and the communities, coastal and inland, are again starting to experience some of that change. And so to have this platform, which is such a positive element, really unifying in terms of, like you were talking about, Russ, that conservation thread. I mean, I honestly think it's a catalyst for education, for engagement, for conservation. You know, ultimately, it's a catalyst for change. And it starts with having something that can serve as that unifying thread. And it's all around, again, stewardship of what in Wisconsin is perhaps our greatest natural resources, and that's Lake Michigan.
Absolutely. Shifting gears a little bit back to the actual shipwrecks, I'm so curious if either of you, because I don't know this, are you scuba divers? Have you gone down and dove to these shipwrecks?
I do, and I think we're trying to get Tom to do it as well. So, and maybe after this?
Right, let's go.
Absolutely, yes. Well, I'm sure Eric and I will join you, so.
I surfed in Lake Michigan in Sheboygan not too long ago for the right show. Mm-hmm. To think that there's shipwrecks under there, it's crazy.
Yeah. Right.
Sometimes when you think about it.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay, so have you had, is there a specific maybe shipwreck that sticks out that was like a favorite experience of yours? Did you have a discovery that really sticks out? Do you have any kind of fun stories along that line you can share with us?
Oh man, I have the lamest answer to this question, which is that,
go for it.
You know, I like them all, yeah. right? In a way, because
such a politician,
I know, right? Oh. You know, treat all the, but you know, the collection is what's so exciting. But you know, there are a couple that stand out. One of them for me is the schooner Ralph Simmons, and that's off of Two Rivers. It's in about 170 feet of water, and it's called the Christmas tree ship. And late in its career, it would carry Christmas trees from the UP down to Chicago. And what's cool about that, it's really well intact. It's a great dive. You can still see some of the Christmas trees there in the hold.
And when did it sink?
1912.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's still preserved?
Still preserved.
Whole Christmas tree?
Yep. The needles are gone, but the trunks are there and the branches are there.
Wild.
Yeah.
Cold water preserves things quite well.
Wild.
It's great. Cold, fresh water.
And there's no salt.
That's right.
No salt, no sharks.
Yep.
We love bragging about that. So.
For sure. You know, in the Ralph Simmons, it's got such a great history. The captain of the Ralph Simmons was born in Algoma, which was Annapie, in the 1860s. Second generation German immigrant, makes his way to Chicago. He's into the grocery business with his brother. He ends up going bankrupt, and he and his brother get into the Christmas tree trade. And so they're owning shares and schooners, and they're doing this really dangerous work because you're bringing these Christmas trees to Chicago in November or December. Mm-hmm. In fact, his brother dies in a Christmas tree related shipwreck accident. And so Herman Schuneman, the captain of the Ralph Simmons, is very much, very knowledgeable about, you know, how dangerous this can be, continues to do it. He's a cultural fixture on the Clark Street Bridge, where the schooner would tie up and would string his electric lights. And so, you know, when you're diving that shipwreck, you're really thinking about all these different connections that, you know, present themselves to us through the lens of this shipwreck. So it's a physical structure. It's super impressive to dive. But then you think about the history. And in that case, that was the entire crew and probably a small contingent of woodcutters who were lost in that wreck. And It's a great story because it continues on to the 1970s with its discovery, right? So it kind of disappears and it's off the map. Herman Schuneman's family continues to bring Christmas trees down from the UP. They're using schooners. Mm-hmm. And they do this into the 1930s. And the Ralph Simmons sank in 1912. And eventually they're using railroad cars. Flash forward to the 1970s. This is discovered. It's discovered by a guy named Kent Bell Richard. And in October, he's running a side scan sonar over this wreck site. He sees something. He's by himself, and he does a dive, right, in 170 feet of water. So that's exciting. And, you know, and then it gives it a completely new life. And here we are talking about it even today. And in fact, the Coast Guard cutter Mackinac continues to bring Christmas trees to Chicago and keeping up this tradition. So there's a lot there. And, and I think that's the really cool thing about the Rouse Simmons.
So the question that you asked is such a great question, because even though, admittedly, I don't dive yet, we'll get there. You know, I think it points to the fact that, again, this sanctuary designation is still relatively new. And as you look around the sanctuary network, you see the way that individual communities have really owned the experience and made the sanctuary their own. And that opportunity now stands before all of the four communities that are part of this designation within the boundary area, but really the state of Wisconsin. Well, what do we do with this designation? You look at some of the examples in other communities, and Thunder Bay, maybe you can talk a little bit about that, but just the way they've brought that in terms of obviously the shipwrecks and viewing those, but also the education and engagement type of examples. For people like me, maybe who don't dive and may not get under the water, there's still ways to really powerfully connect to the stories, to the history, and again, to the importance of continuing to preserve and protect going forward. And I think that's what's really exciting now. Each of these communities, the larger state, the partnerships that you referenced earlier, I mean, Russ, with the Historical Society and so many others, coastal management, so many different entities that are in play, really the sky is the limit. And so it's so energizing. It's so inspiring. So, I mean, maybe you can talk for a minute about some of those examples, because I think that's what's cool. People start to really dream big about what could we do now here in Wisconsin with our shipwreck sanctuary.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that's a small segment of the public that's going to dive. You can paddle out in two rivers or some shallow water shipwrecks. So, you know, you want people to be engaged and go do this for themselves so they'll, you know, value it and protect what they love.
Yeah, I'd heard, because we do have an episode coming up on this too on Discover Wisconsin. You can actually kind of kayak or paddle over a shipwreck and look down and see it.
Right.
Some of these are that shallow.
Yep. And, you know, and that's mostly off of Point Beach and Two Rivers. And, you know, you got to have a good day. But, you know, that's an area where we want to put mooring buoys on those, have interpretive panels, make it easy for you to get your kayak or your paddleboard down to the water and go experience this for yourself. But, to you know, to Tom's point, you know, there's another National Marine Sanctuary in Lake Huron in the town of Alpena, Michigan. And, you know, there's a visitor center there. And, you know, there's lots of ways to convey messages to the public in that sort of environment and do programming and that sort of thing. Here, you know, so you think of a 20,000-foot visitor center. What if we break all of those different pieces and elements up, the marine operations and the interpretive piece, the programming piece? And in this case, we have a real opportunity to kind of move those pieces, you know, potentially along the lakeshore so that people that don't dive can have different experiences in each of these communities as we partner with these communities to bring experiences. They might be virtual experiences. They could be traditional exhibitry. You know, we'd really like to get something going with conservation of artifacts and make that science something that folks can visit for themselves and see the process of that going on and on and on. So, you know, to Tom's point, you know, the sky really is the limit. And the idea is, you know, how do you reach the greatest audience possible?
I do remember, actually, I think it was, I was in college and I took an adventure rafting session in Door County, and it was very specifically in May, so that the water was, you know, just had like finished thawing out a little bit, so the water was as clear as possible. But the point of it was actually mapping out all the shipwrecks that you could see in Door County. So we would like take our, it was a very tiny small boat, and basically you could just see over the edge, which was something we talked about before we started recording. Is there ever a clear glass bottom boat that people could go on?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that would be a great commercial venture, you know, and we would love to support that. You know, here, there is one in Thunder Bay, and it's really popular, and it's a great one because you could leverage that for school cruises. We've gotten grants in Thunder Bay where we got, you know, every fourth grader in Alpena out on this boat, that sort of thing.
Okay.
You know, here, I don't know, the geography may not lend itself specifically to a glass bottom boat, but the communities are thinking in really creative ways, and particularly in Sheboygan, they're really kind of tech savvy. You know, they've got a STEAM center there at Visit Sheboygan and they're at their visitor center. So they're talking about, what if you could do that with an ROV, right? So you had a boat that would take folks out and you would deploy a remotely operated vehicle, an underwater robot, to the shipwreck and have that experience for yourself. And, you know, that can be can be pretty exciting. And so, you know, there's probably different ways. If the glass bottom boat wouldn't work out here, there's other ways to get people kind of on the water and engaged in these places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and at Visit Sheboygan, they have Science on a Sphere. They're very into the science of things. And when you say STEAM, you're talking about the educational science,
right.
Technology, engineering,
arts,
and mathematics.
That's right on. Yeah.
So a lot of people aren't familiar with that term. So
yeah,
I'm thinking STEAM. I'm thinking like old steam engine or steampunk stuff.
It works
stuff,
both
so
ways
I want to
for
make
this
sure,
interview,
yeah.
doesn't it, though?
It's an episode of acronyms. We've already established that.
But,
so.
You know, places like Sheboygan have done such a great job with their harbor. It draws more people to the water.
Yep.
To think about it more.
Absolutely. I do have a question as well for you folks, which is, you know, aside from just kind of getting people excited and like more in the educational aspect of knowing where the shipwrecks are, how can people, especially, you know, knowing that tomorrow is like Michigan Day, how can we all as Wisconsinites, as tourists to Wisconsin, how can we become better stewards of the water? How can we still take care of our water and our beaches, our lakes, you know, whether someone's having just a casual beach day, if they're taking a boat, not for shipwrecks, but just for fun, how can we just become better for our waters?
Oh, but that's a great one for the former mayor of Port Washington.
It's a great question, but I mean, again, an intimate connect, obviously, to mm-hmm. the sanctuary and to Lake Michigan Day, which, of course, we're talking about, and to one of our partner groups, the Lake Michigan Stakeholders, an mm-hmm. event that they host annually. And the whole goal of that really is to not only celebrate action of our stakeholders to really making the basin a better place to live, work, play, but also to bring awareness more broadly to what can individuals do. Mm-hmm. And the good news is, you know, just as we sort of sit in a time of unprecedented challenge, we're also, I think, really on the precipice of unprecedented action. Mm-hmm. And you can do so many different things that are just really local. Plant trees, get down to the beach and help with a beach cleanup. You know, be mindful in terms of when there are different activities going on within your community. You know, I know Port Washington right now, they're getting ready to launch a new sewer mural initiative where they're going to bring in professional artists and have a different time of each year where you'll have sort of that artwork that'll really highlight the fact that everything you put down into the storm sewer eventually has a connect to Lake Michigan, right? Mm. So in that way, we're all really stewards, not just of the lake, but of the watershed again within which we live. So there are all these sort of multitude of ways, not to mention getting involved with the friends groups and other local community groups that are doing great work. I mean, whatever it might be at that local level mm-hmm. to continue to advance stewardship of Lake Michigan. And, you know, organizationally, that's one of the things we're really proud of is our role in sort of serving as kind of that umbrella organization or that fiscal agent, that partner who really empowers that kind of impact at the local community mm-hmm. level. So whether it's a larger sanctuary initiative or whether it's, again, local community impact, there are ways for everybody living within the state of Wisconsin to have an impact on the watershed health in which you live.
Mm-hmm. And even when you go to the lake, because I saw sunscreen can matter. Mm-hmm. What you wear into the water
right.
can mm-hmm. matter.
Right.
I was going to say, I know that that is a thing. Do either of you have an idea of like what particular ingredients it is or isn't that we should be wearing into the water?
I don't personally. Okay. That's more of a science question, and that's not, that's
it really is.
I'm looking at you.
There's a third expert. They didn't hear. Yeah.
We'll blame it on the fact that we only have four microphones in the cabin, so perfect. Well, then we'll just leave that up to the listener just to actually double check, like look into your sunscreen, see if it is, you know, appropriate for the Great Lakes for good fresh water or if it's harming it.
And just you as a person, because some of it is water soluble, some of it's not, and it'll mm-hmm. stay on you and continue to protect you.
Mm-hmm.
But even just something as small as sunscreen, it matters what you put in the water.
Yeah, right? I think I think that's one so hard because it is a trick, because we, in general, you know not to pollute, you know, throw your mm-hmm. your garbage into it, but we never thought about like maybe what was on our skin that was also going into the water. Mm-hmm. So lots of different, I think, good questions that kind of come out of conversations like this. So,
and you know, the value of the resource can't be overstated. I mean, it's 20% of all the world's fresh water
mm-hmm.
right. in the Great Lakes. Yep. Lake Michigan alone, what, 1.6 quadrillion gallons?
Yeah.
Something along those lines. I used to work with an organization we started called the Water Council in Milwaukee, so I learned all these statistics.
Yeah.
It's just mind-blowing when you think about the resource that's right at our front door.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
I heard a great one one time. We actually had a speaker from University of Wisconsin Milwaukee School of Freshwater Sciences. And again, mm-hmm. right, coastal Wisconsin, you're really stretching into some amazing resources, including, of course, the city of Milwaukee and south. But he had used the sort of analogy of that if you took all of the world's water and put it into a 1 gallon bucket or like a milk bottle or whatever it might be, soda bottle, the amount that would be equivalent to our fresh water would be 12 drops. And so the equivalency of the Great Lakes would be about 3 to 4 of those drops.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that puts it into context just how precious that resource is, right? And again, back to engaging people and having platforms for these kind of conversations in a constructive and candid way. I think the great thing is, and we're hitting on all these ideas about how do you steward Lake Michigan, mm-hmm. you know, it hits at things that kids can do too.
Yeah.
And that really to me is where you got to hit is with families and with young children. I mean, that next generation of stewards, because, you know, ultimately the messaging, but also the actions that we take today, really critical, obviously, for how we're going to leave the Great Lakes. But we're going to hand that baton off. We're bridge builders, right? And so I think that's where the sanctuary offers such unlimited potential. How do we engage our school districts? How do we really empower our families? How do we look at these local friends groups along these coastal communities and inland that are doing really critical things? How do we give them lift? And the sanctuary does that. It elevates, you know, that conversation and brings that sense of the importance of this discussion. So, I mean, again, that's where, to me, I think all of us as Wisconsinites should be so excited about this. Because, again, you can look around at the map of the United States. There's only 14 of these around that map. And we're one of them right here. Now, 14 other, now one of 15 right here in the state of Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. You know, and just to riff on that a little bit with the education. So we'll be a year old in August, mm-hmm. and really, you know, engaging teachers and educators and education is kind of our next big frontier. We're doing a lot on the water, and in a recent research cruise we had a couple of weeks ago, we were on the water shooting virtual reality film and some underwater footage and doing 3D modeling of shipwrecks. But we brought two teachers along with us, and the idea was to give them kind of an immersive experience because they're the experts. And so when they have that experience, you know, what is it about being on a NOAA ship and seeing this research happen that, you know, would spark their interest in something that they could leverage for their classrooms and for the work that they do? So this idea of letting them experience the sanctuary and then, you know, be the folks that make decisions about, yeah, how can we leverage the sanctuary? How can we partner together to enhance the, you know, the education area? So that's, you know, that's a first step in really engaging those folks to use and leverage the sanctuary.
So you have all this technology, the sanctuary celebrating a year, you know, here in August. What do you see things in 10 or 20 years? I mean, the kids right now with the technology and everything, are we going to be able to really take a deep dive, whether we're there or not, virtually, all this other stuff, we'll discover more shipwrecks. What do you see for the next decade or two?
That's a great question. Yeah, for sure. You know, virtual reality and those experiences and ones we haven't even thought of yet. I'm really excited about that as well as the science, you know, particularly the mapping that's going on now that will reveal features of the lake that spark new questions and maybe new research and new science. So, you know, to Tom's point too, the next generation of explorers and stewards, I think that's a forever project to continue to do that. And as the sanctuary grows and its awareness and its capabilities and its resources, you know, our goal is to reach as many people as possible and keep expanding that sort of network into new audiences. So, I mean, 20 years is a long way to look. It took us a while to get this thing done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's fascinating because we don't get a lot of national recognition for our resources when it comes to water. We have the Apostle Islands National Lakeshore. That took till 1970 to happen. This is like, I think, only the second thing we have nationally recognized in our waters.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
right.
a big deal.
It is.
Yeah. It is a big deal.
Right.
Yep.
Because on the land side, obviously, you have a great state park system. And heck, you have
one of
the
national forests and everything.
Right. And Ice Age Trail. I mean, you have mm-hmm. one of, 12 national scenic trails. So, I mean, very much on that side. But you're right, Eric. I mean, I think on this side of things, it brings a different level of important significance and really showcases and celebrates that mm-hmm. important place.
Mm-hmm. So I have to end on a fun question to this, because we've tackled lots of conservation and education. But let's say that we really inspired someone in this episode that they wanted to go kind of explore one of these shipwrecks on their own. Where could someone go? How could someone try and actually do a dive, kind of explore a shipwreck, aside from the one that we said was reconstructed on land?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. you know, walk over to that shipwreck. Okay. That's a great first step. Yeah, right across from the Y in Sheboygan. You know, there's two dive shops in the Marine Sanctuary, the one in Two Rivers in Sheboygan, and contact those folks, reach out, and, you know, take a class if you want to get on the water. There's folks that rent paddle boards and kayaks in the sanctuary, so there's lots of opportunities there. You know, some of the really exciting ones, the Wisconsin Maritime Museum, Rider Street Fishing Village, Port Explorium, the 1860 Lighthouse in Port Washington. There's lots of on-land experiences for folks to begin to kind of understand what's going on under the lake, and then, you know, the wetter the better. So start there and then kind of work your way to the shoreline and and get into the water.
Oh, that's awesome. Perfect. Any last tidbits for our audience as we prepare for Lake Michigan Day tomorrow?
Well, I would just say, you know, from my standpoint, again, organizationally, as being privileged to really be a part of LNRP and, of course, connected with the Lake Michigan stakeholders and therefore Lake Michigan Day, always a real point of pride to be able to showcase and celebrate the impacts that different stakeholders are having within the basin. And again, you know, I think sometimes people think that has to be just this monumental kind of impact, multi-million dollar in scope. And the reality is, again, you can get out and you can volunteer or be a part of having impact wherever you live, whatever it is you enjoy doing, just get to the water. The water is a better concept. I mean, just get to the water in some way. And know that in something you do, whether it's pulling invasives inland, that connects to Lake Michigan. Whether it's planting trees, that connects to a healthier Lake Michigan. There are ways for you to have impact. And it's really a privilege, as I said, to be a part of not only an organization, but an event that really gets to bring that forward and showcase and celebrate. So, you know, we're living in a changing Great Lakes, a changing time, no doubt. And this is our opportunity collectively to have an impact while still being a part of communities that we know that have very special, unique identities. The sanctuary is such a great unifying thread to really bring that message forward.
And, you know, the sanctuary is just thrilled to be part of Lake Michigan Day and be a partner on the coast for, you know, Lake Michigan and Great Lakes conservation. I mean, we're just one piece of the puzzle, but we're thrilled to, you know, be invited into the mix by folks like Tom and LNRP and Lake Michigan Day. So we're thrilled to see where this goes and be part of it.
And Russ will be there in person as our signature, our featured speaker.
Is that right? I didn't know that.
Perfect. Seriously, get that memo?
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Well, I guess you got to start brushing up on that speech, huh?
I do.
Well, Russ, we do know you'll be on our screens very soon because, what, tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
Is when the episode gets released. It's a Discover Wisconsin digital short, and you can see more of it. Follow Discover Wisconsin on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. Download our app. You always get the early stuff there.
Absolutely.
And we always have the latest updates on there. So tomorrow being Lake Michigan Day, that is when the short will officially get released. Wisconsin Shipwreck Coast National Marine Sanctuary. It's on all of our social media and streaming channels, and of course on the Discover Wisconsin app. For Facebook's page, it's NOAA's Wisconsin Shipwreck Coast National Marine Sanctuary. It's a mouthful, but if you start typing it in, it'll finish.
It will finish, but I also will link it in the show notes. So if you don't want to actually type all that out, just scroll to the bottom of the show notes, folks.
The Facebook page and the website.
Yes, those and the website. Both of those will be in the show notes, so all of that is good. Russ and Tom, thank you so much for joining us in the cabin. It was an honor to learn from both of you, and I think I can speak for at least Eric and myself that we're very excited for Lake Michigan Day.
Well, absolutely. Thanks so much for having us.
And, absolutely.
One big shout out to the Wisconsin Coastal Management Program as well for helping us fund the digital short and the podcast. That is Partnership in Action, so we're thrilled to work with those folks as well.
Sweet. Absolutely.
Glad we could take a dive.
Today's bonus episode of The Cabin was sponsored by the Wisconsin Coastal Management Program, the Lakeshore National Resources Partnership, and the Wisconsin Shipwreck Coast National Marine Sanctuary, and NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration Coastal Management Team. This was hosted by Eric Wilson and me, Susan Foch, with guest hosts of Russ Green and Tom Malata. Produced by me and audio engineering by Jesus Reyes and Matt Renta, with video teasers by Logan Ingram and social media by me and Courtney Haas. I have never run out of time on these credits
before. This is by far the longest credits we've had, though. But you only have one more sentence.
The Cabin is a production brought to you by Discover Media Works. To learn more, head to discovermediaworks.com, and don't forget to leave us that review.
Very good.
And just one final post-production note, listeners. Please make sure whether you are celebrating Lake Michigan Day tomorrow or you are exploring any of the other 364 days of the year, more of our waters, our lakes, our sanctuaries, anything that has to do with our shipwrecks and basically just dealing with the lakeshore, make sure that if you want to be visiting one of those museums, taking a dive, please call ahead, visit those websites ahead of time to make sure that those exhibits are open and ready for visitors. And of course, make sure that you are preserving our beautiful Wisconsin waters.